ask you this question. Are you gifted? What sort of feeling do you get? Are you gifted? Anyone shout anything? What do you feel? Or do you feel like, I thought I was gifted until you asked the question? Okay. So for some of us, it might make us uncomfortable. Or we might feel inadequate, you know. Am I actually gifted? Yeah, like in what? For some of us, it might make us nervous. Or maybe proud, you know, I'm gifted, you know, sort of thing. But in this church, this Corinthian church is really messed up, you know. Over the weeks, we have been seeing that they're really struggling with a couple of things. They're struggling with division, favoritism, sexual sin, incest, idolatry. And only last week they were struggling with greed, weren't they? Yeah, they ate all the bread, they were drunk at the communion table. You know, really messed up church. And yet, by God's grace, chapter 1 tells us they are not lacking in any spiritual gift. They are operating in all the gifts. An amazing thing. I mean, you'd struggle to find any church anywhere in the world that's operating the kind of gifts this church is operating. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? But sadly, these gifts are causing division. People are divided because of God's gift. So if you were to walk into this Corinthian church on a Sunday afternoon like this one, you'd get two groups. One group over there that feels they don't belong. And another group over here that agrees with them. Now that's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? I was talking with Abigail about this chapter, and I told her that this topic of spiritual gifts has divided the church in a big way. And she gave me two words, shocking and perplexing. Why would God's gift split God's church? Why would God's gift bring division among God's people? So what we want to do, we want to think about that. We want to sort of like investigate that. But I want us to ask two questions. You know, we almost like we want to think about these two questions. Who has it? And what is it for? Maybe this will help us to make some sense as to what's going on. Who has it? And what is it for? So if you look in your Bibles in verse 3. If you look at verse 3. It says something to the effect that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You cannot accept the Lordship of Christ unless you are humbled by the Holy Spirit. And we would expect Christians to be saying Jesus is Lord. Jesus is above me. He is my boss. We would expect that. And we would expect that the Holy Spirit is the one in action anytime you are humbling yourself and exalting Jesus. That's one of the things we want to really zero in on. If the Holy Spirit is in charge, you will exalt Jesus. Simple, clear. Okay? And we expect every Christian to be exalting Jesus. As a result, we are expecting every Christian to have a gift of the Holy Spirit. Because only the Holy Spirit will give you the gift to exalt Jesus. Amen? Now, it doesn't matter, because this church in Corinth was very impressed by the spectacular. You know,
They love the miraculous. They love the power. They love the prophetic. You know, they love the faith that can move mountains. You know, they love the languages of men and the languages of angels. They love the spectacular. But if the spectacular is not exalting Jesus, then it's not the Holy Spirit operating. But if, no matter how weak you may look, but you are exalting Jesus, the Holy Spirit is working in you. So those guys who feel like they don't belong actually do belong. They have a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look at verse 4 to verse 7, it says, there are a variety of gifts, there are a variety of service, there are a variety of activities. But all of them come from the same God who empowers all. He empowers this gift in everyone. He empowers it in everyone. No one is exempted. So are you gifted? Yes. Yes, you are gifted. The only other question I'll ask you is Christ being exalted in your gift? Now, only you can tell me that. And I would encourage you to think about that. Second, what is this gift for? What in the world is this gift for? What is it for? And we look at some three things, okay? It's for unity, it's for others, it's for the church. Well, that's a summary of it. For unity, for others, for the church. What it's not for, it's not for comparison, you know, it's not so we can ask which one is greater. This one is greater than this one. This one is better than this one. No, you get it wrong. That's why you've got these guys who are saying, you don't belong and we belong, because they feel like my gift is better than your gift. Therefore, I am the one who belongs and you don't. Okay? It's almost like us who are leading from the frontier would say, we are the ones who belong because I have the gift of teaching, I have the gift of preaching, I have the gift of singing, I have a gift of, because it's at the front. And then the other person right at the end, who was a gift of admin, who was a gift of hospitality, who was a gift of intercession, well, we can't see that. We can't see that. So you think, maybe I don't belong. No. This one, the gift is not for asking which one is better. The gift is for unity. You have a gift. I have a gift. It's only one gift giver. And you see that if you look at verse 8 to verse 11. Okay, actually, just starting from verse 4 there, it says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Variety of service, but the same Lord. Verse 6, variety of activities, but the same God. Now, immediately, you see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Immediately, you see the Trinity working, getting involved in the giftings. Now, there is no other better unity than the Holy Spirit. No other better unity. The gifts are for unity. In case you missed it, Paul goes ahead in verse 8 to 11, and he says, for to one is given the Spirit, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. All these empowered by one and the same Spirit. So why in the world would the gift divide the church? Mind-blowing. Unless we don't know why the gift was given. What is it for? Now, God's intention is unity. We are diverse. We are from different places, different languages, different tribes, different colors, different age groups. We are diverse as can ever be. God's plan is unity in diversity. Unity in diversity. Man's plan is uniformity. You either look like me, sound like me, feel like me, think like me, or I'm better than you. That's it. Okay? That's it. The church is better off when everyone is like me. I think the church would be better off if everyone is like me. You know, that's a good church. Okay? If they're very different from me, I'm going to another church. Okay? No. God's plan is unity in diversity. Unity in diversity. And this is mind-blowing to the world. When the world sees Dorothy and Abigail having lunch at the Heathway, this young girl doing with this mature lady? What in the world could they be talking about? You know, do you understand? Unity in diversity. And we need the diversity to propagate that unity. We need it. That's why later on Paul will give the example of the body. Okay? The thumb is different from the toe. The eye is different from the ear. We need them to be different so they can function well. I need your tongue shaped the way it is. I don't like your tongue being shaped like a foot. Otherwise, it will not do its job. Unity in diversity. We need the diversity for unity so we can function well. Amen? You belong. The gift is for unity. The gift is not for putting anyone down. Look at that one, okay? Big gift. I've got this big gift. Oh, you only got that. Oh, okay. All right, okay. Oh, you're just an admin now. Okay, all right, okay. Well, I can teach. I can preach, you know. What? You can only teach and preach? Well, I can speak in tongues. Drop mic. Beat that. You know? So the gifts are not, they are not for a put down. They are not, we miss it, okay? They are not for a put down. The gifts are for unity. We need every arm, every leg, every finger. We need every department working. We need every gift working so we can be united. Amen? That would be one thing I would like us to pray for immediately after this service. Do you know what a defib is? Defibrillator. Do you know what that is? Okay. Some of us are saying yes, some of us are saying no. Okay, a defibrillator is one of these machines that you can use to restart the heart, okay? So say if Rob gave me a defibrillator for a birthday present, okay? And I've got my defib over here. I can restart any heart, okay? I'm great, aren't I? I'm really great. By the way, who's great? Is it me? Because I have a defib? No. I'm not great because I have a defib. Actually, it's Rob who is great because he gave me the defib. Does it make sense? So if you have the defib gift, okay, that is not so you can put down someone who got a shoe gift. Okay, gifts are for unity. And that would bring us to the other one, the other bit that the gift is for others. Even that defib is not for me. The whole essence of the gift is for the common good. It is for the common good. You look at these gifts. Look at them, okay?
For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Who are you going to utter wisdom to? It's not you. It's to someone. It's to someone. Utterance of knowledge to someone. Faith to someone. Healing to someone. Working of miracles to someone. Prophecy to someone. Distinguishing between spirits, various kinds of tongues. These gifts are outward looking. They're not inward looking. We miss it. We miss it. The minute we start saying this is for me, we miss it. I can be here with my defib. If my heart stops working, I don't need Tom to come and say, by the way, this one is battery powered. I've got a fantastic one at home. Okay, it's got all these, you know, fancy things. It can actually do the job in a second. That one will take 3 seconds. Mine can take 1 second. And you're sitting here arguing. Hang on a minute. Stop arguing, okay? I don't care whose defib is better. Strap that thing on me. Bring me back. Does it make sense? The defib is not for me. The defib is for you. My gift is not for me. My gift is for you. If I think it's mine, I miss it. This is how come we start abusing the gift. Okay? There is a theologian philosopher, the late Dr. Miles Monroe. He said, if the purpose, wherever purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. If purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. If you don't know the purpose of a thing, you will abuse it. If you don't know the purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you will abuse the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's off-putting. Just turn on the telly, go online, and see how people are abusing the gifts of the Holy Spirit for personal gain, for money, for fame, for pride. And it's off-putting. It is so off-putting that the world doesn't even want to be involved with the church. It is horrible. The gift is not mine. My gift belongs to you. Can you imagine? Imagine if I was to take like 10, 20 hours preparing a sermon. And then 3/4 of this church says, George is a rubbish preacher, I'm not going to go. Okay, and then only Phil was to come and show up. And then Phil says, because my gift is insignificant, I won't turn up. So I'm stuck over here on my own with notes. Okay, who am I going to preach to? I need you to show up so I can exercise my gift. I need you to show up so I can exercise my gift. It doesn't matter how insignificant you think your gift is, or how significant I think my gift is. It's complementary. I need you just as much as you need me. We need each other. Amen? Spiritual gifts are for the common good. Spiritual gifts are for the building up of the church. So if you look at verse 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You are the body of Christ, individually members of it. Now, Paul is going to take like 3 chapters talking about spiritual gifts, 12, 13, and 14. Okay. I'm going to steal just one verse from 14. So 14 is going to tell people like actually how to put some of these gifts into use in a proper way. And I'm going to steal verse 26 from chapter 14. And that one says that all these gifts must be done for the strengthening of the church. For the strengthening of the church. You are the church. You are the body of Christ. And all these gifts are for the strengthening of the church. Now, there are many gifts. And in the New Testament, there are a couple of lists of variety of gifts. Now, these lists are not exhaustive. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to walk around with your list and tick them off, you know. I got this. Okay. I got the teaching bit. Okay. And I got the prophecy bit. But I don't want this interpretation of tongue bit. I don't like that. Okay. Because people think I'm weird, you know. I don't want anyone thinking I'm weird, you know, interpreting some gibberish stuff. I don't want someone thinking I'm weird. Okay. See what's going on? I missed it. I literally, what I'm doing, I'm choosing and selecting gifts. Okay. I don't decide what gift I get because the church is not mine. Whoever built this church knows what this church needs. And he will equip the church according to the church's needs. So if this church needs someone to teach the Bible, he will equip someone within us to teach the Bible. He needs a church to praise the Lord. He will gift someone in song and music. He needs someone to be encouraged. He will equip someone to be an encourager or a prayer warrior or stuff like that. Are you getting it? The one who built a church is the one who will equip you. And we can't put a limit on which gifts he's going to give you. So we can't have a stick list and say, it's this or this, this, that. I can't turn around and say, you know, I've got three now. I've got two to go. Okay. Now I'm going to work really hard for these two. Okay. I'm going to be as godly as I can. Okay. Pray long hours. Okay. No sleeping, fasting and praying because I need these two. Okay. By the way, when I fast and pray, I feel like I'm going to die. Okay. So. Because my metabolism is really high. Okay? Do you understand? That's not it. What you're thinking in yourself is, this is a medal, you know? That's what you're thinking. That's what you're thinking. You're thinking these are medals of merit. I need to do something to get the gift. That's what you're thinking, isn't it? What you're missing is, there is a purpose for this church. What is Becontree Church meant to do? To exalt Christ and make Christ known in Becontree Estate. Okay. So what does Becontree Church need for that? Well, it needs to be taught the Word of God. It needs to be strengthened. It needs to be encouraged. And it needs boots on feet, people going out to knock on doors. That's what it needs. While people have gone out, it will need someone to arrange the chairs, do some admin, pay the bills, do some hospitality. Okay, everyone is going to do something because there is a purpose for the church. So my gift, your gift, our gifts are for the church. So the church can operate in its full capacity. And this is why when you see Paul is talking about the church, he is giving the example of a body. He's giving the example of a body. So if where's Abigail? Abigail, could you read for me verse 12 to 26? Come round. Verse 12 to 26.
For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. For in one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that will not make it any less a part of the body. For if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, that will not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need for you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which are more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, given greater honor to the part that lacked it, but there may be no division in the body, but that the members may be the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Abigail. When Catherine was in hospital, when she was admitted in hospital, I couldn't pray. I couldn't read the Bible. I was literally lurching from one day to another. Days were just, they were just blurring from one into another. Juggling work, house, hospital. I could not pray. But there was someone among us who has a gift of faith. And they believed God. And they said, we are going to trust God no matter what. And they set up a WhatsApp group. And there was a prayer chain. Every day there was prayers going on. I couldn't pray. But they prayed. And you prayed. And you prayed. And you prayed. And you prayed, and you prayed. And God answered by his grace. Your gift is needed in Bay Country Church. We might not see it. We might not even know who was praying behind the scenes, who was praying in their bedroom. We may never know. But we know that God heard you. And he answered, praise the Lord. So I cannot say that because I don't see your gift with my eyes, I don't need you. And you cannot say that because your gift is so understated, it's not needed. You cannot and should not say that. And that's why it's saying here, the ear cannot say to the eye, I don't need you. Because I can see everything. I don't need you. Now you try talking to the eye. Go and whisper a few secrets to the eye. See how that works. See how that works. Okay? Or, this one also says, if one part is suffering, the other part is suffering. So I'm going to ask us to try something, okay? And this works really well if I've got really nice long nails, okay? Frankly, I have absolutely no idea what this earlobe is meant to do. I have no idea. What is this for? I have no idea. I'm not sure when God was sitting there, he was designing the earlobe, he said, I'm going to design this so you can hang stuff on it. You know, hang stuff off of it. I have absolutely no idea. I don't know what it is for. Okay? So as far as I'm concerned, the earlobe is redundant. Okay? What I want you to do, though, is I want you to prepare your nail, okay? And I want you to just hold your earlobe using your nail, okay? And then I want you to press as hard as you can and then look at which other part of your body is having fun, okay? Right? Now press. Yours. Okay? So press really hard. Okay? I can see some, your eyes are not having fun. Press really hard. If you press really hard, the leg will not have fun. Okay? The leg will probably go, ow, the mouth will go. Does it make sense? Redundant, as far as we can see. Yet, if this one suffers, the eye is suffering, the mouth is suffering, the leg is going there, the shoulders. Does it make sense? We are the church of Christ. We may think we are redundant, but Christ has chosen you and given you a gift. Will you use the gift? Bay Country Church needs your gift. It needs your gift. The church needs your gift. That's Bay Country Church. All gates need it. Because we need to go out. We need to do God's work. We need to exalt Jesus. We need to show the cross of Christ to this estate. We need you. The question is, are you available? Are you available? The gifter has gifted, but are you available to use the gift? I want us to think about the kind of things that can put us off, you know, when we think someone's gift is the most important one. If you look at verse 27 and following, or verse 28 and following, Paul is going to ask a couple of questions. Are all this? And in each one of those questions, he expects the answer no. Okay, the answer no. So I will need some congregation participation. Okay. So I will ask the question and you'll go, no. Okay. Are all apostles?
No.
Are all prophets?
No.
Are all teachers?
No.
Do all work miracles?
No.
Do all have the gift of healing?
No.
Do all speak in tongues?
No.
Do all interpret tongues?
No.
So what's the problem? What's the problem? What's the problem? Why aren't you serving? Why aren't you putting yourself ahead? Why aren't you getting stuck in? Why aren't you giving it your all? What's the problem? I'm going to need us to pray. If you're struggling to identify your gift, the one who gives gifts can tell you what gift he's given you. If you're struggling to use your gifts for one reason or the other, again, the one who gives the gifts can strengthen you. I want us to reflect, what gift has God given you? I want us to reflect, how will your gifts benefit others? I want us to reflect, how are you using your gifts to build the church? I want us to reflect, are there fellow believers who you attempted to look down on because they don't have a gift like yours? I want us to think about these things. And I want us to say sorry for all the times we have neglected to use God's gift. Or the times we have taken advantage of God's gift for personal gain. or for the times when we have overlooked the gifted one because the gift was so understated. I want us to pray. Father, Lord, first of all, we just want to say sorry. We know deep in our hearts that we are not giving you our all. We know it. We know we're not praying enough. We know we're not reading your word enough. We know we're not fellowshipping enough. We know we are not exercising your gift to the maximum that you have given us. So we just want to say sorry, Lord, for that shortcoming. But on the same breath, we also want to say thank you that you have chosen us to believe in you. You have chosen us to accept you. You have chosen us to be gifted by you. What an honor. What an honor. Our Lord, for us who don't know our gifts yet, how we pray that you will open our eyes to the gifting you have placed in us. We pray that you will encourage us. You will activate the gift in us. That you will strengthen us to exercise this gift. We pray that we'll understand the reason for the gift, the purpose for the gift. And we pray that we will exercise it in the proper way as you have taught us in your word. And Lord, I pray that you will help this church, Bay Country Church, to be united by your gifts, to be united by your spirit, to be united by your love. And Father, I pray that this church will be a beacon of light in this estate, in our unity, in our love for each other, in our service to each other and to this community, that we will lift up that name of Jesus, that we will exalt him, that we will make him known. And we pray that, Lord, as we do this, we pray you give us a harvest of believers coming, of non-believers coming into these doors, coming to meet you, to know you, coming to be gifted by you, so they can go back and make more believers. And Father, we pray that your love and kindness will be with us all throughout this journey, that we will never tire, that we will run and not faint, that we will utilize our gifts to the maximum, giving your name glory and serving each other for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.